Bring Christian greetings to each one in the name of our Savior and Lord this morning. I bring greetings from the Hopewell congregation. A few of you know where that is. I guess for those that worry about this type of thing, my father's name was Victor Krupp, and my mother was Alta Fern Hosteller from Kelowna, Iowa. And my grandpa on my dad's side was Amos Krupp. So now maybe we can all study the word together. I know that that makes more difference to some people than others. And I do count it good to have a godly heritage. I think that's important. I appreciated the thoughts that were given, how the word lines up with itself. The Bible tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Recognize that Jesus was the living Word, and we have the written Word with us today. We have our Bibles, and that's the written Word. But Jesus lived out the Bible. The things that are said in the Bible, Jesus lived them out. He's the example of the living Word. I would like to talk about words this morning and how they affect us. Now, I don't know, you probably never had anybody come up here up front and they just stood here without saying anything for the whole service. You ever have that? Maybe not here, huh? But there's a lot that we say without words. Did you know that? And oftentimes the words that we say, when it doesn't measure up with our life, then our words mean something different than what we say. And I suppose that back here you aren't, you know, Missouri is supposed to be kind of a little bit out of the way, right? You aren't. You probably have the news that you hear once in a while about things in the U.S. and in the world. And you know that the things that you hear on the news, depending on where the news is coming from, as to how you believe them or what percentage you do, or if you expect them to be slanted one way or another. And you know, we're kind of that way. Depending who's talking to you, I'll just say something that the boys will understand. You know, if someone tells you that there's a motor that's just, you know, really powerful, it will affect your mind one way. You'll think of something. And if a girl tells you that a motor is powerful, you'll probably think of it in a little different light, because we don't all look at it the same. I remember a man that worked on motors. He was trying to impress me with all the things that he had done to his Power Stroke Ford engine. And he said, I just have a bad problem with an oil leak. It's just really leaking bad. I just can't get it stopped. And he wanted to show me. So we went out and looked, and I couldn't hardly see anything. I thought maybe I saw one drop of oil on the ground. And the next person can tell you, you know what? Yeah, we have a few oil leaks, but it's not really that bad. And you go out and look, and there's a big old wet spot on the ground underneath their motor. But you learn to adjust your thinking of what somebody says by how you know them, right? I'd give you some illustrations of cooking, but I'm not that good at that. But you know what I mean. You adjust what you hear according to who said it and what you think of that person, the relationship maybe you have with them. Well, I'd like to impress on us also that there are things that are said that aren't said verbally. And let's turn to Psalm 19. That's a good illustration of that. I'd like to read this psalm. It's amazed me many times how that he starts out by this psalm by talking about the heavens and nature. And that it tells us things. And yet, you know, when you go out at night and look at the stars and you wonder about the greatness of God, having created everything, and just the other night, the moon was big and full, and there was an eclipse of the moon. And they told us to watch for it, and out there it was a cloudy evening, so we didn't get to see it. But do you know how they can tell that there's going to be an eclipse? It's because God has placed it in order, and it tells us something about God. Just the very fact that they can time it out exactly when an eclipse is coming is because the heavens declare the glory of God. Well, he goes on to talk about the law of the Lord and the statutes of the Lord. And he ends up with pointing back to himself. The last verse points back to himself. So let's read this psalm, Psalm 19, beginning with the first verse. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It comes back to a personal thing. You know what? We can look at the wonders of heaven. We can look at the greatest speech that you ever heard. You can listen to that. But how does it affect us? How does it affect my heart? How does it affect my thoughts? How does it affect my own speech? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The Bible talks about different things about words. Proverbs 25, verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Proverbs 15, 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? You remember back, way back, the Garden of Eden. The serpent came. Here was the perfect couple living in paradise. And the tempter came. And he just had a few words for them. He said, "Yea, hath God said." He put a question. What's the matter with a question? But he was able to convey a doubt by the words that he said. And the result of that was the fall of man and woman, going against God because of a few words. I remember a saying from my childhood. I never quite agreed with it. But the saying was, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me." Ever hear that saying? Words aren't something physical that get hold of us. It's not like getting a beating or something physical, but it affects us. And I'd like to think about the importance of the words that we share with each other. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Here he is admonishing us to be careful what we say. And I know that we oftentimes don't think about what we say. Maybe, you know, I'll just talk for the men. I don't know about the women, but sometimes when you're off by yourself and something happens that is very bad, you smash your hand. You know, maybe you have a breakdown that you thought you didn't deserve. And maybe you say something out loud. You think, well, nobody heard it, right? You know, if you think about that God is with you everywhere, are you careful, extra careful what you say around people that you think highly of? Maybe your mom, your dad, your minister, your school teacher, your whatever. Are you extra careful what you say when you're around them? And as you get older and you start to drive, and you drive the way you do, I don't know how that is, but you do, if you think about it. And you think, you know, I'm going to pick up the preacher and take him where he's going for supper tonight. Do you drive any different? You probably do. You're extra careful. Stop at the stop sign. Well, how is it if you're taking God along with you throughout your day? Are we extra careful how we talk? Because you know what? God is there with us. It makes a difference how you think about it. Ecclesiastes 5, I'd like to read the first 7 verses. "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldst not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God. Be careful what we say. Be careful what we say before God. Most of us that are adults have had a time when we meant to say something and something different came out. Have you ever had that happen? Or it came out in a different way than what we were meaning to have it come out. We meant to say one thing and it sounded different when it came out of our mouth. Be careful what we say. Be careful that we don't make a vow to God. Lord, if you'll just help me, I'll do this and that and the next thing. Don't be quick to do that. Be careful that you keep your word. Do you know where your words come from? Where do you think your words come from? Why do we say what we do? It's usually because of something we've put into our mind. We've allowed to be there. Something in our mind has built up and we talk from that. I had a couple tell me, they're older than me. Years ago, they were dating. And, you know, for some of us, this would be hard to imagine, but the man was dozing off. The boy was dozing off. And all of a sudden, his girlfriend said, "Yes, yes, I will." He said, "You will what?" "Well," she said, "you asked me to marry you." And it was in his mind, but he hadn't realized he said it. But she answered because he had actually mentioned that. But our words come from our thoughts. Maybe even if we're only half awake, be careful what you're thinking about. Your words might surprise yourself. Well, I see children here. I'm blessed to see children here. You know, oftentimes parents, as their child, you know, they start to respond. And the parents are listening. When are they going to say their first word? And sometimes they say daddy or mommy or whatever. And it's precious, right? And we teach them to talk, and we teach them to talk. And sometimes they say things that we didn't know we taught them. And sometimes they say things that we would rather they wouldn't. And after a while, we try to teach them to not talk so much. But words, we should be careful what we say, what we teach our children to say, what we give an example. Because words can hurt. But words can be kind. And words oftentimes they'll just show They'll be an example of our life. And even children don't have to talk much. And they can stand there and they can look at you and they can beam up at you and they say, "Hi." They haven't said much, right? One simple little word. But it can cheer you up. It can make you understand that they want your well-being. And you know what? We as adults could learn from that. Oftentimes our face will help people understand the words that we say. And if we have a frown or a snarl and we talk to somebody, even if we don't have very many words, maybe none at all, the words can come out of our expressions, the feelings. Matthew 12, let's read a few verses there. Matthew 12, 31. Matthew 12, 31, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." The seriousness of our words. An idle word, a word spoken in jest. By your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. That goes for each one of us. You know, young men, as we get tough and we get strong, and sometimes we think that, you know, the more powerful our words are, the more people will think of us. And sometimes it's exactly the opposite. Sometimes the strength of a man is measured by his ability to not answer when somebody says something against him. Think about that, young man. Sometimes being able to hold your words and not speak when something hurtful comes to you measures a man's strength more than your ability to give it back. Well, our words, they come out of our mouth, make a noise. You can never suck them back in again. Once they're out there, there's nothing you can do to retract them. If you said something that wasn't kind, likely people will remember that for a long, long time. You can't take it back. But you can. You can apologize. And sometimes a heartfelt apology will go further even than an unkind word. Think about that. Sometimes a heartfelt apology goes further than an unkind word. We can encourage by our words. They don't have to always be a lot of words. One day I was with a bunch of boys, youth boys, before I was married. We went on a little camping trip down by the river behind our place where I was living. And we were going to have a sleepover down there, so we took our little tents and sleeping bags. And sometimes boys, they get these whatever ideas. And the river made a bend right there. It was a fairly wide river part of the way, but right there was narrow and it was fairly swift and it went around a corner. And it was fairly deep. And that's right where we were camping. And the boys, about midnight, decide, you know what? Let's swim across the river. So not all of us knew how to swim very well, but a few of them did. And a couple of them made it across. A couple of them got in and decided it was too swift and they came back. But a couple of them made it across. And they got to the other side and they were pretty exhausted. And they still had to come back. Well, after a bit, they started coming back, swimming across the river, and it was really swift. And the one boy made it across, and the other boy was out in the middle. He was about done. He was going under, coming up. And those of us that didn't know how to swim very well, there wasn't much we could do. And one boy that knew how to swim, he went out and swam beside him. And he didn't talk very much. He said, "You can make it." And the fact of having someone there beside him and giving him just a little bit of encouragement, he made it. That's so true of life, brothers and sisters. So true of life. We can see people struggling. You know, you can use all the words you want to try and tell them what they're doing wrong. But there are times when someone just walking beside them, letting them know that you're there, telling them, "Come on, you can make it," makes all the difference in the world. Let's turn to Matthew 21, read a few verses there yet. Matthew 21, beginning at verse 28. "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, 'The first.' Jesus saith unto them, 'Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him.'" Talking about people that say things and they do something different. And if we have said that we won't and God has asked each one of us to do something, God has made us for a reason. He's asked each one of us to serve him. And if we have found in our lives, you know what, we've been hesitant. We've said, you know what, I'm not willing to do that, Lord. We can still say, you know what, I repent and I will go. I repent and I will do your will, Lord. But just because we have come and we said, you know what, I will do the will of God. I will do the will of God. I am committed to doing the will of God. And we can tell people that, and we can even tell ourselves that. But if we aren't committed, if our word does not mean anything, if we're going against the commitment that we've made with our words to God, we still haven't went. And it's important that we follow God. It's important that out of our words that we commit to God. But if we've been hesitant, that we would be willing to still repent and go. Well, we won't turn there, but you remember the story of the children of Israel. They came to the point of entering the promised land. And the men that went out to spy the land, they said, you know what, there's lots of giants there. There's scary things there. We can't go. And their words discouraged the people. And those people turned around and told Moses, you know what? We aren't going to go. And because of that, God had to lead them through the wilderness for 40 years while all those people that were older died. They couldn't go. Well, we see people today that are, they're handy with words. They can talk you into doing what you weren't going to do. And I don't know if you've ever had someone come and tell you, you know what, that person over there, they have a problem. Why don't you go talk to them? You ever heard that? Why should I talk to them if you don't? If God lays on your heart a need, he probably has laid on your heart to go talk to that person. I encourage you with that. Don't go ask everybody else. Use your words wisely. Maybe you don't even have to use very many words. Sometimes knowing that you care is worth more than a lot of words. Not long ago, someone told me, you know what, I got tired of this relationship I had with this person. I just got tired of it. This has been going on for years, so I finally just told them how I felt. Well, that should have really brought relief, right? They got this off their mind, but it didn't. It was making them feel very bad. Also, this last week, there was a man that I knew from childhood. He came and he was very bitter, very, very bitter. Probably the most bitter man I had ever seen. And his wife had left him, divorced him, taken his half the kingdom or more. He had to sell everything he had, was trying to take all the children. And he expressed in words that he would like to kill her. He would like to get someone else to kill her. And then he said he would like to kill himself. words. Words come from thoughts. That's, you know, if anything happens to those people that he talked about, they'll come looking at him. Did you do something? Even if he didn't. Bitterness. Bitterness will make you say things that you don't mean, that you shouldn't say. Bitterness. Take care of it. In your heart, forgive. Deal with it. It will make words come out that should never come out. Well, Psalm 119. Did you know that each verse in Psalm 119 talks about God's word, his statutes, his, each word is a little different that it uses. I mean, there's a lot of different words it uses, but there's 176 verses in Psalm 119, and each one talks about the word of God. I'd like to read a few of them. Some of these are very familiar. Verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And 10 and 11, with my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The word of God is true. You won't have to wonder whether the word of God is true. You won't have to wonder whether you can trust the word of God. You may wonder about something that someone says that you trust very much. You may still wonder sometimes about what they say, whether you can believe it or not, whether it's entirely accurate or not. But the word of God is entirely accurate. It will never fail. Verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. I have quite a few marked, but I'd like to read just a couple more. Verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. 116, uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. For us that are older, verses 147 and 148, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Sometimes as you get older, you don't sleep all through the night. You don't sleep till the morning comes. You wake up in the middle of the night. The word of God, think about that. It's a good thing to think about in the middle of the night. It's easy to think about your troubles. It's easy to think about other people's troubles. Think about the word of God, the truths that are there. 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. would like to leave you a challenge. The Bible tells us about people being surprised about Jesus when they heard him speak because of the gracious words that came out of his mouth. I challenge us to let that be real, that gracious words would come out of our mouth. I also challenge each one of you, children, youth, older ones, middle-aged. You may think that someone is older, that, you know what, they should have it all together. You may think that children are young, and it doesn't matter so much. You may think that youth have lots of vim and vigor and fire. But from whatever viewpoint we're coming from, children, the older people need to hear a kind word from you. Youth, you are in the middle. You need to encourage the children. You need to encourage the parents. You need to encourage the older ones. For me, that has been an encouragement when the youth have a kind word. Parents, we're so busy. We're so busy we barely have time to notice other people. But the children and the youth and the older ones need encouragement. And as we get older, most of us, our words get fewer. There's a few that don't, but most of us do. But let those be kind words. Let those be words that encourage and build up and turn people to God. The challenge of my heart for you, for me, have you ever wondered why God doesn't speak when you think you need to hear from him? There are times to be silent. There are times when words aren't fitting. There are times to listen. I'd like to read a little story from Stan Noel. I remember when I was a little boy, that the only time our classroom in school was quiet was during a test. The teacher would say, "No talking, take your pencils and fill out your tests." Even the teacher would be silent. When God is silent in your life, you're going through a test. When you don't hear God and he feels like a million miles away, that is a test. The teacher is always silent when the students take a test. When God is silent in your life, your faith is being tested. Will you let go of control or will you grab on more tightly? When you're going through pain this next week or next month or this year, you don't really need God's explanation. You need God's presence. I think most of us can see that in our own lives, in the lives of those around us. When people are going through times of testing, sometimes we need to encourage each other to be still and know that God is still there. May God bless us, each one. May God bless you here. Continue to be faithful. We're just some poor Christians out in Oregon trying to find our way too. Be faithful to God.